Well, in your Bibles now, Obadiah. We've been studying the book of Obadiah. I won't ask for a raise of hands, but did you do your homework? Did you do your homework? Well, you have that same homework this week. Okay? You have that same homework this week. So if you did it, congratulations, good job. You have the same homework next week, and that is to read through the book of Obadiah. All 21 verses of it. It's not that long. And so do that one more time. And I say that because as I study through something, whether it's a book or a passage or a chapter or something, especially as I prepare to teach or preach, I'm reading through it several times. That's one of the things that we should do just to get familiarized with it. And so good thing to do. That is your homework. Now, there was another handout for today, actually for today and next week. So last week there was a handout. We have a few extra copies of those. And then today there's a handout. Today's handout is for today and next week. So don't lose it and bring it back with you. In review, we're going through the book of Obadiah. Last week we talked in depth about the Edomites and the background and some of the setting. And then we got into some of the... So if anybody needs a handout, raise your hand. Anybody need a handout? Okay, from today or last week? Last week. So last week's handout. Anybody for today's handout? Okay, there's some hands over here. Thank you, Ralph. I appreciate that. So just also by way of review, a couple of you folks gave me some information that was really helpful in just understanding some of this stuff. About Petra. Remember, we talked about Petra. What was Petra? It was the capital. Okay, it was the capital of where the Edomites were. And the city of Petra, so think more modern times now. One book said this, transient visitors trying to reach it only about 100 years ago, so 100 years ago from today, stood a grave chance of being murdered by bands of prowling robbers. For hundreds of years, the hostile Arab tribes in the vicinity of Petra drove away or killed any strangers who came to visit the stone city. Remember, this is the city that's carved in stone. You go down the deep walled canyons. The fierce tribes lived by raiding villages and robbing travelers because they didn't want outsiders interfering with business or looking for possible treasures in the picturesque stone ruins of the mysterious Petra. So for thousands of years, really, Petra has been contested and claimed by various tribes. And so just interesting background into that capital, that rock capital of Edom. And also by way of review, a book by David Cloud had this to say about Edom. Very interesting. This is by way of review of what we talked about. Edom's hatred of Israel is ancient. Edom was a name given to Esau, we know that, when he sold his birthright, which was the Abrahamic covenant for a bowl of red stew. Though he despised his birthright and valued it less than a mere bowl of soup, Esau never forgave Jacob for taking it. When he later tried to regain the blessing of the firstborn by bitter tears, he was unable to do so because Isaac had already given the blessing to Jacob. Now, we know this from studying our Bibles. Through Jacob and his mother Rebekah, though Jacob and his mother Rebekah sinned in the manner of deceiving Isaac, God had already said that Jacob would receive the greater blessing. Isaac eventually acknowledged this, and God spoke from heaven and personally gave the promise to Jacob. Esau's descendants, Edom, who conquered the Horites, remember we talked about that last time, and settled the land of Edom, perpetually nurtured their father's, Esau's, hatred of Jacob or Israel. But by hating Israel, they also hated the God who had blessed Israel. And so by way of review, we know that there was that bitter hatred for the house of Jacob, as we call it, or Israel. Now, we got through last time, we got through all of that background, and we got through verses 1 and 2, I think, and 3. And we're starting really in Obadiah, verse 4. So we're kind of walking through the book of Obadiah. And what we're doing is we're looking at some of the things that we see in these verses and applying and dragging dragging some lessons from them. And as I study, you know, as I read through it again and studied through it, there's so many things. We could spend weeks on this. But the idea here, remember the goal of studying something like the book of Obadiah is for knowledge and for us all to understand, you know, we can study Scripture and get something from it, even though it might be a bit obscure, like Obadiah, Ezekiel. You know, I tried to read through Job. I think my wife is trying to read through Job, and it's like, but God has stuff. God has lessons for us in those chapters, in those books. In Proverbs 18:15, the Bible says, "The heart of the prudent," I want to be prudent, don't you? "The heart of the prudent getteth knowledge, and the ear of the wise seeketh knowledge." Well, we start our knowledge with the knowledge of Scriptures. We don't gain knowledge so we can think we're better than somebody else, but we as wise need to gain knowledge. And so that's what we're trying to do. It's a lifelong journey, and we know that. And so it's a lifelong journey to know the Scriptures. And we're just one more day in learning about the Scriptures. Now, in verse 3 of Obadiah, now, so the handout last week ended and we got some into the handout of this week. So in the handout of this week, if you can look down where verses 3 and 4 are, verse 3 of Obadiah is one of the three key verses of Obadiah. Okay, one of the three key verses, verse 3, being the pride of thine heart. Okay, it starts out, the pride of thine heart. And so we talked about God's hatred of pride. We know that, but we reviewed some verses about that. And I believe some of those verses, I have those referenced in your handout. Okay, we left off last week seeing how God views the wickedness of pride. And also the application there is for you and I, as we read our Bible, as we're in Sunday school, as we're in the preaching, as we're in the Bible, in our devotions every day, we ought to be asking the Lord, "Lord, show me any shred of pride in me. Show me that so I can root it out, so I can get your help to root it out of my life, because pride will grow." Now, verse 4, so let's go to verse 4 of Obadiah. Verse 4 of Obadiah, the Bible says, "Though thou exalt thyself as the eagle." Now, this is talking, remember, God gave Obadiah a message for Edom. Edom being the enemies of Israel, the descendants of Esau. "Though thou exalt thyself as the eagle, and though thou set thy nest among the stars, thence will I bring thee down, saith the Lord." Now, you read a verse like that and you say, "Oh, that sounds somewhat familiar." Verse 4, God is telling the Edomites that he will bring them down from their lofty, prideful heights. Okay, the Edomites, remember, they had a pretty high view of themselves. And we learned that last week. And then here's another verse from Proverbs that describes Edom in the same way. Remember, they had their capital in Petra, this city carved in the rock down a canyon, very well defended. They trusted in that. They had riches they trusted in. Proverbs 18, 10 and 11. Now, when I mention these verses, I think I've gotten them in your handout at least referenced. "The name of the Lord is a strong tower." Okay, so the Edomites thought, "We have a strong tower," but it wasn't the name of the Lord. "The righteous runneth into it and is safe. The rich man's wealth is his strong city, and as an high wall in his own conceit." This follows along with what we studied last time. You know, the Edomites trusted in their wealth. They trusted in their defensive position. They trusted in their cunning, their defensive cunning. But God was going to show them who is boss. But for you and I, we the righteous, the Christians, here in Proverbs, it says the name of the Lord is a strong tower. The name of the Lord is a strong tower for you and I. And how do we do that? How do we run to it? Right here in the Bible. We run to the name of the Lord in the Bible. We run there when we have need. We run there when we have trouble. We run there when we have trials. We run there when we're afraid. We run there when needing help and wisdom. Run to the Bible. Run to the name of the Lord, our strong tower. The Edomites, they just trusted in their strong tower. In verse 4 of Obadiah, it sounds familiar when Obadiah says, though thou exalt thyself, I'm going to bring thee down. God says, I'm going to bring you low. Sounds familiar. For even Jesus Christ himself tells us of God's view of what he will do to one who exalts himself or has great pride of himself, right? Can you think of those verses? Luke 14:11. Jesus Christ himself says, for whosoever exalteth himself shall be abased. Okay, and then by comparison, he says, he that humbleth himself shall be exalted. And there's references in your handout. It's amazing how the Bible just agrees. Pride is an awful sin. We talked about that. And God here is making it clear to Edom that their pride is going to destroy them. And he reminds us by application that pride will destroy you and I, even the words of Jesus Christ. Well, moving on, verses 5 and 6 of Obadiah. And there, you know, we could spend a lot more time talking about each one of these lessons. But I want you to see them, and I've given you a handout that maybe one day you'll go back and walk through Obadiah and take some time with it yourself. In Obadiah chapter 1, the only chapter, verses 5 and 6. If thieves come to thee, if robbers by night, how art thou cut off? Would they not have stolen till they had enough? If the grape gatherers come to thee, would they not leave some grapes? How are the things of Esau searched out? How are his hidden things sought up? Again, this is continuing the thought. It carries on the thought of Edom being so trusting in their own riches, their own wealth, their own resources. And God saying, guess what? I'm going to give you what's coming to you. I'm going to bring you down. So these verses continue that thought. The verse asks, do the Edomites depend upon their wealth and treasure, the abundance of which is looked upon as their strength, their muscles of war, so to speak? Okay, we just saw this in Proverbs chapter 18. Is their money their defense? Is that their strong city? It is so only in their own pride. Their wealth, their wealth will rather expose them than protect them. Just like you and I, if we trust in our wealth, it's rather going to expose us rather than protect us. It will be made spoil by the enemy. Spoil being those things taken by violence, particularly in war. So these verses just lend more to this thought. Hey, Edom, you're coming down. Okay. Matthew Henry makes this application. Treasures on earth, though ever so fast locked up, and ever so artfully hidden, cannot be so safely laid up, but that thieves may break through and steal. It is therefore our wisdom to lay up for ourselves treasures in heaven. That reminds us of what verses? Anybody? What verses does that remind us of? Lay not up for yourselves. Okay, wake up. It's time. We got to wake up. More coffee. More coffee before church, okay? Yeah, Matthew 6, 19 through 21, right? Lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth where moth and rust doth corrupt. Okay? But there's other verses. They're listed in your handout there. Psalm 62:10. Trust not in oppression and become not vain in robbery. If riches increase, set not your heart upon them. Edom did that. And the lesson for us is clear. In Psalm 52, verses 7 and 8, lo, this is the man that made not God his strength, but trusted in the abundance of his riches and strengthened himself in wickedness. Okay, but I am, verse 8, but I am like a green olive tree in the house of God. I trust in the mercy of God. I trust in the mercy of God forever and ever. So you see, we can look at this rather obscure book, at least it was for me, and draw out of it lessons, and lessons that are taught throughout Scripture, even the words of Jesus Christ himself, bear out the lessons we learn from an Old Testament prophet. Now, moving on, verse 7 of Obadiah. And again, there's much more we could say. Verse 7 in Obadiah. All the men of thy confederacy have brought thee even unto the border. The men that were at peace with thee have deceived thee and prevailed against thee. They that eat thy bread have laid a wound under thee. There is none understanding in him. Again, remember, this message is from God through Obadiah to the Edomites. And he says in this verse, Edom, even your allies have turned on you. Even your one writer said, the worst kind of treachery in the East is to betray a man whose bread one has eaten. Likewise, a nation's destruction is always more bitter when former allies and confederates participate in it. Even their allies eventually turn their back on Edom. And of course, God used that for judgment against Edom. But here through Obadiah, God is pointing this out to them. What's the lesson? Don't turn your back on your brethren. Help them when you can. Give to them when they are in need. But don't get allied with someone with whom you should not be. Now, I realize here, again, the enemies of Edom have turned their back on them. Okay, have turned on them. So the unrighteous are turning on the unrighteous. The unrighteous are getting their just due. However, we can look at this verse and draw some lessons from that. Don't turn your back on your brethren. In Proverbs 22:9, he that hath a bountiful eye shall be blessed. He that hath a bountiful eye shall be blessed. That means if I have something that I have that can help a brother, I need to help that brother. For he giveth of his bread to the poor, that verse says. 2 Corinthians 9:6. But this I say, he which soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly, and he which soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully. Now, these verses certainly have a financial meaning. However, there is the application that we are to help one another, even in an unrighteous and wicked cause. Edom's allies turned on them. But then further, the lesson is don't get allied. Don't make agreements or commitments with whom you should not be. Okay, Edom certainly was. Even though Edom was being unrighteous, they were allied with people they should not be. Before getting into an allied situation or a commitment situation with anyone, seek wisdom from the Lord. Seek counsel. Seek many godly counselors. We can draw this lesson from these verses. Proverbs 11:14, where no counsel is, the people fall. But in the multitude of counselors, there is safety. An example or lesson from Scripture is about being surety for someone. You might have at least heard some verses with that word surety. Proverbs 6:1-2. My son, if thou be surety for thy friend, if thou hast stricken thy hand with a stranger, thou art snared with the words of thy mouth. Thou art taken with the words of thy mouth. Surety should be viewed as a snare. This is Bible. Surety is standing good for someone else. It's a guarantee of sorts. You take the burden, whether financial or in some other way, off the other and place it on yourself. It sounds virtuous, but the Bible calls it a snare. This is what the Bible says. Surety is a financial term, but the application is clear. Don't get allied with someone else for whom you are taking a burden of debt. It is an alliance. It is a snare. There's some other verses written there. How do we draw that from this in Edom? Well, Edom was allied with folks they should not have been. I'm not defending Edom. I'm saying those allies turned on him. Now, moving on, verses 8 and 9. I know we're moving quickly, but again, let's keep the goal in mind here. The goal in mind is to look at the book of Obadiah, draw some lessons from it, number one. Number two is to show you and I that we can see things in Obadiah and relate them to things that we are more familiar with. That we're more attuned to, or maybe we've learned about recently. In Obadiah verses 8 and 9, shall I not in that day, saith the Lord. And I love how the Lord continually points it out. I'm saying this to Edom. Edom, you better listen up. Shall I not in that day, saith the Lord, even destroy the wise men out of Edom, and understanding out of the mount of Esau? And thy mighty men, O Teman, shall be dismayed, to the end that every one of the mount of Esau may be cut off by slaughter. Shall be cut off by slaughter. The Edomites, like Esau, were essentially irreligious and thoroughly profane. Rarely, if ever, do we read about Edom's gods in the Old Testament. But no doubt, Edom had gods, little g, gods, but religion was not their big preoccupation. They had no spiritual birthright. They had no faith in the future. Some would say they were dead to the unseen world. That's not being dead to sin. That's just being dead to the true God. But they lived for power and plunder in this present world. In keeping with that, in keeping with their free thinking, so to speak, the Edomites gained a reputation for shrewdness and worldly wisdom. You can just picture them in their very defensive city and their wealth and all of that. And so they gained this reputation. Interestingly, Eliphaz, chief of Job's friends. Remember Job's friends? Such good counsel. Not. But Eliphaz, a representative of worldly wisdom, was a Temanite. So we see this mentioned in verse 9. Eliphaz was a Temanite. So Job wasn't getting that good of advice. The Herods we read of in the New Testament, you know, the Herods. They were quite unprincipled statesmen. Okay, lack of ideals and wickedness and all of that. They were Edomites. Okay, the Edomite shrewdness did them little good. God here says the wise men of Edom were destined for destruction. We see this in these verses. They trusted in that. They trusted in their own wisdom. They trusted in their own hearts. They trusted in their own strength. They trusted in their own intelligence. Now, what verses tell us that we're not to do that? Anybody got an idea? Any verses come to mind? We're not to trust in our own selves. We're not to lean to what? There you go. Okay, the coffee's kicking in. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. Now, Proverbs 3, 5, and 6 are very familiar verses, and we just rattled them off, right? Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, lean not on thy own understanding, and all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. Take some time sometime and meditate on that. And, you know, I did this in light of the Edomites. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not into thine own understanding. Okay, they trusted their own knowledge, their own intelligence, their own wisdom. We're not to do that. Sometimes we can think that we know something, or we know we have some knowledge, we have some wisdom, but we are not to lean onto our own understanding. We're to trust in the Lord. In all of our ways, acknowledge him. We could spend a whole Sunday school on how do we acknowledge him in all of our ways. This verse in Proverbs tells us what the Edomites were doing was wrong. We're not to lean on our own understanding. Also listed in your handout, Jeremiah, along with this, Jeremiah 9, 23 and 24. Jeremiah, thus saith the Lord, let not the wise man glory in his wisdom, neither let the mighty man glory in his might. Let not the rich man glory in his riches. Don't glory in anything that we have. Oh, thank the Lord for it. If we have any bit of wisdom, if we have any bit of knowledge, if we have any bit of direction, if we have any bit of counsel, guidance, we need to thank the Lord for that. He says, but let him that glorieth glory in this, that he understandeth and knoweth me, that I am the Lord, which exercise loving kindness, judgment, and righteousness in the earth. For in these things I delight, saith the Lord. He delights when we acknowledge him. The Edomites didn't. Lesson for us is we need to. Now, verse 10 of Obadiah. Verse 10 of Obadiah. There's just so much we can learn from this little book. So much that we can be reminded of in our own lives from this little book. Verse 10. For thy violence against thy brother Jacob, remember Esau, Jacob, brothers. For thy violence against thy brother Jacob, shame shall cover thee, and thou shalt be cut off forever. Now, really, this verse is the summary of the entire book of Obadiah. For your violence against your brother, you're going to be cut off. I pray I never hear that from the Lord. But the Edomites did. Okay, this is one of the three key verses of the book of Obadiah, verse 10. It's the second of three key verses. Because Edom has been so violent, so hateful, so horrible against the house of Jacob, I think we established that last week, God is going to destroy them. God will cut them off forever. Now, for the sake of time, we won't go there, but in your handout is listed Ezekiel 25, 12 through 14. Parallel passage to this verse speaks of Edom. And so I've got it written there for you, and just would encourage you at some point, walk back through these handouts with the book of Obadiah, flipping to these verses. It's just amazing what God will show you. The lesson we can draw from this. Now, here, for thy violence against thy brother. Now, they were brothers, right? Esau and Jacob were brothers. If you step back and meditate on that, what can we draw from that? Lesson, be careful how you treat your brother and sister in Christ. Now, there's many verses in the Bible that talk about when we are, okay, this English isn't right, done wrong to. When wrong is done to us, okay? When wrong is done to us. There's a lot of verses that cover that. But we need to be careful about how we treat our brother or sister in Christ. Now, I'm fairly certain that you all, I'm not plundering and warring and killing one another, but there's a lesson here. And we ought to take note about how we are treating our brothers and sisters in Christ. God says to Edom, for your violence against your brother, I'm taking you down. Okay? Well, that ought to be a lesson for you and I about how we treat our brothers and sisters in Christ. 1 John 2, 9 through 11, he that saith he is in the light and hateth his brother is in darkness even until now. He that loveth his brother abideth in the light, and there is none occasion of stumbling in him. But he that hateth his brother is in darkness and walketh in darkness and knoweth not whither he goeth, because that darkness hath blinded his eyes. We could say Edom's eyes were blinded, but they still, God still had this message of doom for them because of their violence against their brother. Oh, Edom's destruction is bitter, it's awful, and it's total. Because God takes sin seriously. He takes sin against his people seriously. He takes the sin of pride seriously. And so God pronounces this judgment in verse number 10, one of the three key verses in Obadiah. Now moving on to verses 11 and 12. Verses 11 and 12. In the day that thou stoodest on the other side, in the day that the strangers carried away captive his forces, and foreigners entered into his gates, and cast lots upon Jerusalem, even thou wast one of them. But that, so again, God's still, remember, God is talking to Edom through Obadiah. Verse 12. But thou shouldest not have looked on the day of thy brother in the day that he became a stranger, neither shouldest thou have rejoiced over the children of Judah in the day of their destruction, neither shouldest thou have spoken proudly in the day of distress. You know, I don't know, parents, you know, I can remember as a kid, you know, mom and dad, you shouldn't have done that. How many parents? You shouldn't have done, Esther, you shouldn't have done that. Okay, God's saying a lot of that here, okay? You shouldn't have done that. Well, here in these verses, we see the Edomites just looked on and rejoiced over Jacob getting attacked, plundered, and taken captive. The enemies of Israel just looked on. They just watched it with glee when Israel was getting attacked and plundered and taken captive. They were happy about it. And they were happy about what was happening to the people of Jacob. the phrase here in verse 11, and stoodest on the other side, isn't necessarily a geographical reference to a distance on land or over a river or mountain, but it is a reference to standing away, but in view of what is happening. Now, does that remind you of something in the New Testament? Somebody stood away and watched what was happening, some calamity that was befalling somebody. What's that? That is one of them, yes. We'll get to that. How about the story of the Good Samaritan? Right? In Luke chapter 10, we find that, you know, the man got robbed and beaten and all of that. And the priest and the Levite walked on, they passed on the other side. Okay, the Bible tells us they just looked upon the calamity of this man that was beaten and robbed. God's using this same terminology about Edom watching what's happening to Israel. But the Good Samaritan, of course, helped the man that was beaten and robbed. He sacrificed for this man. He gave for this man. It's very interesting how the Bible always agrees with, you know, we're seeing Old Testament, New Testament, a little prophet, a minor prophet like Obadiah, and the lessons we draw out are just solidified in other verses and solidified in the New Testament. Jesus Christ himself experienced this passing on the other side. He experienced that by his closest friends, his closest followers at Calvary, when Jesus Christ was unfairly tried and when he was beaten and whipped and crucified and hung on the cross for your sins and mine. And that particular instance is foreshadowed in Psalm 38:11. I think I have that in your handout. In Psalm 38:11, the Bible says, "My lovers and my friends stand aloof from my sore, and my kinsmen stand afar off," foreshadowing the standing on the other side of those that were watching Christ get beaten and crucified. What's the lesson? We ought not be the ones that are passing on the other side. We can read the story of the Good Samaritan and know we need to help. We need to help our brothers and sisters in Christ. We know this. In James 2:8, the Bible says, "If ye fulfill the royal law according to the scripture, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself." Ye do well. Ye do well. John 1, 1 John 3:17, you see it in your handout, "But whoso hath this world's good and seeth his brother have need and shutteth up his bowels of compassion from him, how dwelleth the love of God in him?" We can draw this lesson. There's other verses listed there. And then, of course, we can draw the lesson. We can draw the lesson. Rejoice not when your enemies fall. Edom stood afar off. Well, we'll get to that in a minute. They participated. But Edom stood afar off, and they looked upon the calamity of Israel. And they rejoiced in it. They rejoiced in what they saw. Okay? They looked on. "And neither shouldest thou have rejoiced over the children of Judah in the day of their destruction." God clearly says it. Well, the lesson is good for you and me as it's backed up by other scriptures in the Word of God. Rejoice not when your enemies fall. In Proverbs 24, 17 and 18, "Rejoice not when thine enemy falleth." Those are direct words to you and I. The book of Obadiah has an example of that for you and I. "And let not thine heart be glad when he stumbleth, lest the Lord see it and it displease him, and he turn away his wrath from him." Proverbs 17:5, "Whoso mocketh the poor reproacheth his maker, and he that is glad at calamities shall not be unpunished." Hey, that calamity happening to someone, or we're told, we should rejoice not when thine enemy falleth. That calamity happening to someone, that could be you. That could be me. We ought not rejoice in that. That calamity happening to someone, God didn't design that calamity for you to rejoice over, for me to rejoice over. That calamity was designed for that one's chastisement, maybe learning, growth, admonition, or destruction, or maybe for you to see it and learn from it. Or whatever the case, that calamity was divinely arranged or allowed. We're not to rejoice when our enemies fall. Edom rejoiced when their enemy was falling. So the Edomites stood by and looked on at these calamities and atrocities and destruction that the house of Jacob was experiencing. So if we go on to verses 13 and 14, thou shouldest not, see, he continues the thought, you shouldn't have done that. Thou shouldest not have entered into the gate of my people in the day of their calamity. Yea, thou shouldest not have looked on their affliction in the day of their calamity, nor have laid hands on their substance in the day of their calamity. Oh, neither shouldest thou have stood in the crossway to cut off those that of his that did escape. Neither shouldest thou have delivered up those that did remain in the day of distress. God goes through four verses there saying, you shouldn't have done this. And he gets into detail. You shouldn't have done this, Edom. Now, if he's doing that, you and I ought to perk up and say, okay, what's he saying? And what can I learn from it? Okay. Now, this crossway here in verse 14 speaks of a fork in the road, but meaning a way of escape. But I want to get to a lesson from this, and then we'll close up for today. So we just went through verses 11 through 14. Okay, so I want you to look at the book of Obadiah, verses 11 through 14. Now, in here we see a progression of sin. So, again, we're looking at this minor prophet, and we're looking at these verses. There's a whole bunch more that we could say about this whole book. We could spend weeks on it. But in these verses, you can take a look and see a progression of sin. As we look at this, think of another verse in Scripture that might sound familiar. Obadiah 1 through 11, I'm going to quickly go through this. In verse 11, it says, in the day that thou stoodest on the other side, God speaking to Edom, Edom's the enemy of Israel, Edom is wanting Israel's destruction. He stoodest on the other side. Verse 12, but thou shouldest not have looked on. They stood, they looked. In verse 12, and have rejoiced over the children of Judah, and spoken proudly in the day of distress. Verse 12. Then in verse 13, Obadiah 13, thou shouldest not have entered into the gate. In verse 14, stood in the crossway, basically stood in that way of escape. In verse 13 again, nor have laid hands. That's the last sentence there, or last part of verse 13. Nor have laid hands, nor have delivered up. In these verses, we see kind of a progression of sin. A lesson for you and I. They stood and they watched the calamity. They looked on. Then they rejoiced over. So they looked and they started thinking about it. And they rejoiced over it. And they spoke proudly of it. Then they took steps and they entered into the gate. It says here in verse 13. In verse 14, they stood in the crossway. They stood in the way of escape. And then we see they actually laid hands on their brethren and they delivered up their brethren for destruction. There was a progression described here of sin. They stood, they looked on, they rejoiced over, they spoke proudly. They entered into the gate. Then they laid hands. Then they got involved. What's that sound like? Anybody, is there a verse in Scripture that reminds you of? What's that? Okay, Psalm 1:1. Psalm 1:1. You should have all yelled it because it's written in your handout, right? Psalm 1:1 says this. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of the sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. It's been described that here's this man. He's walking by. He's walking by and sees something enticing, sees something he's going to enjoy. And then he stands, he looks at it, and then he takes a seat, he sits with it. There's a progression, and that's just like your life and mine. There's a progression. Something stirs a lust in us, and we start thinking about it, and then we start walking by it, And the next thing you know, we're sitting with it. That's just what Edom did. And that's what you and I can do. It's described here in Psalm 1:1, the progression of sin. We've got to finish here. And the lesson is this. The lesson is this. And I think we'll start. I think we're going to start there next week and we'll go over those lessons. So mark that in your handout. Bring your handouts next week. Bring those handouts with you. And we're going to pick up right there.
Thank you for joining us by way of the internet today. We're so glad that you were able to be with us, and we pray that the service was a blessing to your heart. Even though the sermon is over, our service is not over. At the end of our service, we give an opportunity for people to respond and come to an altar and pray over what God dealt with them about. Sometimes people come to call upon Christ and to be saved. Others come to make a decision for Christ regarding their Christian lives. Others come to call out to the Lord about special needs and situations in their lives. Maybe God has dealt with you today about some specific area of your life. I invite you to make an altar right there in your home, a quiet time before the Lord where you pray to Him and respond to Him about what He has spoken to you about. If you made a decision for the Lord today, we would be glad to hear about that decision and or answer any questions you have today about the message that was preached. You can contact us by way of email at info@mountziononline.org or by way of phone at 717-927-9227. Again, we thank you for joining us today, and we look forward to you joining us again for our live stream weekly on Sundays at 10:45 a.m. and on Sunday evenings at 6:45 p.m. If we can meet a need in your life, please do not hesitate to contact us. Thank you, and God bless you.